Ladies and gentlemen, Serious Brad.
First of all, I'd like to start the show off with a real heartfelt, I don't know, proclamation of love, if you will. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm in love with a man. And that man's name is Becky fucking Lynch. Jordan Gerard Garber, bro, I don't know about you, but it sucks what happened to Becky Lynch. She can't be in Survivor Series. Folks, if you haven't heard that before, I'm sorry for breaking your hearts right now.
But I just wanted to point out right away your audio. I just noticed a little bit of muffled in the audio, a little hard to hear. What you're getting at. I do totally understand. I just thought I'd give you a quick heads up on that. But yes, we do have a lot to talk about today. We do have War Games, NXT War Games to discuss as well. We do have Survivor Series to discuss, which is coming up next. And also this Friday coming up, the 50-man Rumble to Remember. I put my name in the hat, so who knows? I might be in there and I might be defeating 49 other men and become the number one contender for the CWE title. You never know. Possibilities are possibilities. But today, I'm in my podcasting vibe, like my podcasting version of Jordan Garber. And it's just great to be back on the show and talk to some of the greatest stars of professional wrestling today and provide you guys with some of the best wrestling talk on the planet. So I guess my question to you, Brad, what you been up to the past few weeks and what's on tap for tonight?
Well, in the past few weeks, we've just been cranking out the shows. But this week, I figured we'd do a little something different. This is more on the Pinnacle Soldiers podcast side, if you will. We're going to be doing Survivor Series predictions and thoughts, of course, because there's plenty of thoughts going around when it comes to Survivor Series. We all know that so much has changed. It's kind of ridiculous. And then, of course, NXT War Games, one of the most anticipated pay-per-views NXT has. The second one coming around, everyone's looking forward to it. It's going to be a slaughter. So looking forward to our predictions and our thoughts on this because we are just very loud people. We have opinions, and we want to share them with our people at home.
Absolutely. We want to share everyone's thoughts and opinions. That is what wrestling's all about. Mixed reactions,
yes.
Mixed opinions,
yes.
And the limitless possibilities of what could happen in a wrestling match. It's a very interesting concept, and there is a lot coming up in the world of professional wrestling coming up this weekend, so it's important that we discuss that. You know, Survivor Series is one of the big four wrestling pay-per-views in the world, and it's good to finally be approaching that point. Basically, the Super Bowl of wrestling. It's Thanksgiving tradition, obviously, in the States, and apparently, to most Americans, your guys' Thanksgivings are more meaningful than the Christmases in some cases. Americans take Thanksgiving very seriously. And when you mix that with Survivor Series, you've got yourself a combo pack. I am also doing a live stream today, so anyone can call in and stream in. Like, for example, Justin Friedman tunes into the live stream. He says, "Hey, how's it going? I'm doing great. I can answer your questions live on the show." We're just unable to make people call into the show and ask questions due to people that say they want to kill me for some reason. So,
well, that's ridiculous.
That's
ridiculous.
Some people like they get into it. One topic we want to discuss that Justin actually brought up himself is that Hulk Hogan is back. Share your thoughts on that.
On Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, Hulk Hogan. He's back in WWE.
First of all, we're gonna break wall fourth wall real quick. Is my audio good? Because I want to make sure people can hear me.
Your audio was better than before, but
perfect.
It's still not great. But I can hear you.
Okay.
And I can hear you somewhat. Okay. It's better than before. So.
See, when it comes to my opinions, when it comes to certain professional wrestlers, or just my personal opinion, I try to keep that very low-key, close to the chest. So I'm happy that people are happy that Hulk Hogan is back. Hulk Hogan is a legend, of course. He's the man. You think professional wrestling, of course, you think Hulk Hogan. I mean, there's five people, probably, when it comes to professional wrestling, when you hear their names, that's all you think. Hulk Hogan is certainly one of them. He's the godfather. He's the Zeus. So, like I said, I'm just happy that people are happy in professional wrestling, because that's what it's about. You know, professional wrestling is not about making people pissed off, mad, or a little bit of pissed off, but, you know, sad and upset. That's not what it's about. It's about making people happy. So if Hulk Hogan makes people happy, then I'm glad that professional wrestling has a good vibe going around right now.
Exactly. And I think wrestling will succeed in a better direction if you have the concepts of the business of it being less exposed. And if fans stopped worrying about what happened backstage and just tuned into the show each and every week and enjoyed their popcorn or had their beer or had their drink or whatever, and you don't even look at the rumors or the dirt sheets on the internet, which obviously I don't encourage you guys to do because that's but you know, there's a lot of people that should tune in, not focus so much on the backstage news and just focus on the product itself. It's something that can be, some people need to do more. Stop worrying about behind the scenes. That's what kind of ruins the business sometimes. Just focus on what's presented in front of you. And that's why I like to talk about what's presented in front of me more than I like to talk about what's going on backstage. Because as a referee, I don't like to share too much information about that sometimes. I like to protect the business. I guess it comes to one of those things where it comes down to respect. You know, when I was working with Bruce Hart in 2014, obviously one of the trainers of the Hart Dungeon, where many WWE stars have trained, and to work with him for a year and hear his insights on old school wrestling and the way it should be, I learned a lot. And it definitely made me remember a lot when it comes to respecting. And not just respecting, but protecting the business. You know what I mean, man?
Yeah, there's a time and place for everything. You know what I mean? There's a reason why it's called the fourth wall. It's a protected term. And there's only a certain amount, there's only appropriate times to break that fourth wall. One of them being, of course, when a wrestler passes away. They break fourth wall. They show respect to that wrestler. And they go about their business. I mean, there's just, you got to protect it because that's kind of the magic about it. You're able to invest in certain wrestlers and workers in the business, managers, or even valets, whoever it may be in professional wrestling. You invest yourself into them. You invest your feelings into that. And it's important that that's not broken. I mean, you hear that saying, you don't want to meet your heroes because it ruins it. You know, it's something, you know, your hero will do something when you meet them that kind of just puts a sour taste in your mouth and it doesn't make you believe in them anymore. So it's just very important that people do that when they come in there. And it's important that, you know, people that are training and teaching these people that are coming into the business to respect that. I mean, and understand how important, you know, spreading that and conveying that is, because you'll get cold shouldered like a motherfucker if you don't do that, and you won't get any work.
Exactly, and you're looking at someone who, from 2016 I remember when from 2015 to 2016, I was going on the road all the time, and I was on as many podcasts, probably the most I've ever been on. So then it comes to the point where we reach 2016, and I haven't got booked for anything in like 6-7 months, not even a referee gig. Well, those are important to me. I take those bookings very seriously, but I mean like little podcasts. Like bookings, like no one would want to get me on their show for some reason for the whole year, for the most part. And then from 2017, I debuted in the Rumble. I had like, that was my first actual professional wrestling match, like involved in like Battle Royal concept. And then from there, I tried it again, and then I found myself more work. But that's coming from someone who couldn't find work for a long time, whether that was paid or unpaid work. I was at that point where I was desperate to find anything and everything, and even if it wasn't paying me anything. It was just one of those times where I was like, you know what, I just miss it, and I just want to, it's part of my routine. You know, I like to do at least one show a week, whether that's refereeing or podcasting. I like to meet that quota. It's very important. But at the same time, if you do more than one podcast a week, then you start to add some fatigue and your shows and quality aren't that well. So I try to make it a goal to leave it between one and two. That way I can balance my real priorities, like my real life situation, first. Mm-hmm. So I'm not worried about doing all these podcasts on break and stuff like that. It's always about a balance, and a balance provides with interjection. So that's pretty much my take on it. But like I said, if you're a fan, don't read the dirt sheets. Just watch it on TV and be ready for what happens next time. That's a lot of part reason why people don't watch wrestling anymore, is because people already know what's going on and they get tired of seeing the same old. Let the surprises become surprises, and you'll enhance your vision more. But that's just coming from a fan. From an insider's perspective, I'd be more than happy to give you all the news on what's happening around the world of pro wrestling. But those are for marks that go on the internet every single day and read results and stuff like that. I got you.
Yeah.
Either way.
Well, hey, guys. You know, we want to get to, of course, our Survivor Series predictions and our thoughts. So, we're going to get to those, and we're going to get to War Games as well. And what I'm thinking, Jordan, since we're kind of doing this live thing after the show, what we'll do is we'll get our thoughts and our predictions with Survivor Series here on blogtalkradio.com, the Chairshot Radio Network, and then we end the show, and then we do a live feed on the Pendulous Podcast Instagram page, and we give them the War Games predictions and thoughts.
That is on the post show. So what Serious Brad is trying to say is that stay tuned after the program, because we will be on Instagram Live doing an exclusive post show featuring Survivor Series, no, War Games predictions.
War
and that's
games,
in a whole
right,
new
next War Games.
Live. Yeah, that should be.
You know, we want to give you more of us.
Now?
You know what I'm saying? And we like to show you why we're on radio and not usually on video.
Well,
come on, that's just funny. That's just funny
me when I'm. It's funny because there is one episode where I was eating a hot dog, and like I got made such a mess, and like there are like 9 people live watching this, and like didn't even pay attention to what the content show was. They were paying attention to like the mustard all over my sweater and the mess I had to clean up. So it's like, you know, watch for anything. Watch to laugh at me. That's okay. You guys If you guys take the time out of your evening to go on a live stream or listen to this show, you know, say whatever you want. You're entitled to. You're a fan.
Yeah. That's the one thing that we do on this show is you say what the fuck you want. That's the fun part of it. All right, so let's do this, dude. Survivor Series 2018. The one thing you can't do with this show is look on dirt sheets because it's changed so fucking much. So we're just going to start with the big show, not the big show himself, with the one of the main events. And that changed recently here on SmackDown, where Daniel Bryan challenged AJ Styles for the WWE Heavyweight Championship. And sure as shit, Daniel Bryan wins, gets that Heavyweight Championship, and is now going to be facing Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series. So we got Brock Lesnar on Raw, we got Daniel Bryan on SmackDown. Who's going to win this one, dude?
Well, I think we're looking at WWE is trying to do something with Daniel Bryan with the heel turn, obviously.
Yeah,
so
obviously.
It makes him lose the belt. Fuck, I can't even fucking talk. It's fucking crazy sometimes. I wish I could stop fucking swearing. But sometimes it's so fucking difficult.
It is.
Restrictions on this match was Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles. AJ Styles just lost the belt yesterday. There's a heel turn in the process that's just beginning. So because of that, Brian's going to retain, and the heel turn's going to go further into the storyline. Your thoughts?
Well, they're both going to retain, obviously. But, I mean, I think that Daniel Bryan is going to win it. And I think – I say this all the time because I want it to happen so bad. I want this to happen so bad. I want Daniel Bryan to win, he is heel. So this is the perfect time for Paul Heyman to turn on Brock Lesnar and help Daniel Bryan win. And I'm sorry, but I would love to see Daniel Bryan as a Heyman guy. That would just be dope as fuck. I would lose my shit. And I would be happy. I would be happy the rest of the Survivor Series if that happened. I mean, shit could happen. Shit after shit after shit could happen. And I would still be happy if Daniel Bryan won because Paul Heyman turned on Brock Lesnar. So that's my thought.
You know what?
Daniel Bryan's going to win. And the crazy prediction is Paul Heyman is going to turn on Brock Lesnar.
Oh, sorry, it's got a live comment. Are you going Friday to the show, CWE? Rob Dixon asks. As you guys know, that is my uncle, my boy. So Saturday, we're going to get drunk. And as for Friday, I will be there. But the question is, I leave myself in the hardest question. I'm sorry to go off topic and go on to the storyline. Is Jordan Garber going to be there on Friday as a referee, a man in the 50-man rumble, or is he going to be there to get an interview with Brutus Beefcake, Matt Taven, TK O'Ryan, and Vinny Marciagua? We all are going to find that out Friday, because I still don't know what the fuck's going on. But as long as I get one of those three, I'm a happy camper. As for what's been going on, sorry, Brad, repeat yourself. I do apologize.
Sorry, dude. We're already moving on, okay? I said Daniel Bryan is gonna win, and my crazy prediction was Paul Heyman is going to turn on Brock Lesnar. Anyways, we're going to move on to the Ronda versus Charlotte Flair. Again, another match changed because Becky Lynch went full steel balls to the wall, and of course, Nia, fuck you in the face, Jax, punched Becky Lynch in the face. And folks, I'm sorry. Normally, I would sit here and say, hey, that was a mistake. You know what I mean? It's professional wrestling. That shit happens. They signed the contract. They know what's going down. But if you watch that fucking video, dude, the most unprofessional fucking thing I've ever seen happen, and that's Nia Jax throwing a fucking ham hock of an arm blindly out towards her in a fucking ring full of women. Like, what were you thinking? What do you think was going to happen when you throw an arm at full force like that? Blindly, straightforward. You're going to hit someone in the face, and you hit the fucking champion, one of the best build-up matches, as far as I'm concerned, in the whole Survivor Series. This was almost a deal breaker for me. I almost said, fuck it, I'm not even going to watch it, because I was really looking forward to Becky Lynch versus Ronda. Perfect setup, it was great. But I still love Becky Lynch. She's a fucking rock star. So, Ronda versus Flair. I'm kind of shooken with this one. You know, Charlotte Flair is my queen. We all love Charlotte Flair. Ronda's doing awesome. We like to see Ronda do well. So this is kind of a sweetheart match as far as I'm concerned. No offense to the term. You know what I'm saying. So I'm going to say Charlotte's going to win it. Why? Because I think it's going to be more of a tribute to Becky Lynch, how, you know, badass she is. There's really no storyline as far as this goes, you know, with anyone, you know, whoever wins, it's Survivor Series. So I'm
sorry, man.
Yeah,
but look what happened on Raw. We saw what happened on Raw when SmackDown invaded Raw. But where's the part of the story where Raw retaliates back on SmackDown so more anticipation happens? Where's the anticipation? Like, yes, I know there is a title match, but they could have done so much more where they've had Raw invade SmackDown.
Sure.
That's part of Survivor Series. They've been adding that in the storyline for 15, 20 fucking years.
Mm-hmm.
What changed this? And that kind of, as a fan, kind of was my thoughts on it, but the title match was a good replacement, so I'll let it go. But for future reference, if there's a pay-per-view coming up, stick to the storyline, because those are going to be the people that are spending their dollars on your product, on your pay-per-view product, which some people don't know how. They still don't have the WWE Network. I fucking have the network, and I'm still setting up the online aspect so I can watch any pay-per-view I want for any year. The thing is, though, people are still spending $56 a month. A month. $50 to $60 a month still buying these pay-per-views when you can just buy it all for
$11.
No, I know people that still do that. And not just that.
Wow.
They buy a whole pay-per-view and they watch it. That's cool and all. $60 down the drain. But then they buy the repeat and they watch the repeat. So they blow another $60. So now you know it's $120 that you spend just to watch the same thing twice when you can just, you know, switch to a network and watch it on your iPad or on your TV or something. It just, I don't understand the concept.
Well, there's just so much content. There's just so much content. And it's just not like back library stuff. I mean, there's a lot of shows. There's weekly shows. I mean, there's new content all the time. So it's absolutely worth it. And it's ridiculous. I didn't even think they actually could. I didn't even know there was an actual option still that allows you just to buy a single pay-per-view. I just thought they got rid of that shit. There's just like, just buy the pay-per-view or just buy the network or you just don't watch it, you know? And that's what I thought it was.
Yeah, well, you have Impact Wrestling and their pay-per-views. Obviously, you're going to be paying for those. But, like, don't...
That's right. Well, there's the Fight TV, Fight TV app. So I always thought that that's where everyone went. So, I don't know.
You have to pay more for the pay-per-view. But with the Fight TV app, I guess you can stream it on television and stuff like that. Fight TV has actually been making a revolution in professional wrestling by adding multiple independent wrestling content. Fight TV has been a great source. It's the business now needs
Twitch. Twitch is another one.
Twitch is another great app. Yeah. I will be coming up.
So
once they get a computer.
And is Florida going to take it or is Ronda going to take it?
We're going to say the team of Becky Lynch is going to take it on this one. Like you were saying, I cannot disagree with one thing you said. It's just statistically and historically, it just seems like it would make more sense for the story, and I'm going to go with it that way. Just same opinion as the Bryan and Styles match. It's just that you just see more of a – I think the SmackDown's going to end up being the baby faces in this match, and Raw's going to end up being the heels in this match. So I see a good, warm, heartfelt moment for SmackDown.
Yeah, that's what I'm feeling too,
Weird. Sorry, go on.
No, that's fine. I was just going to move on to the next match.
The concept, and before we do go on to the next match, the concept of a baby face and a heel, it's so hard to kind of create. And now you're creating that with a group of 12 total people. So it's going to be interesting to see how these matches go, but they always seem – every Survivor Series so far seemed to be pretty good. So I'm looking forward to seeing what else they have to provide.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. Now a match that should be – and kind of is still, I mean, it should get more hype. It should be a dream match. I mean, if they built it right, it should be a WrestleMania match as far as I'm concerned. But it's Shinsuke Nakamura versus Seth Rollins. This should be a great match. It really should be a great match. It's really hard to pick, you know, who you like. I mean, it kind of gets to the point to where it's, you know, it's either good. This is to the T. Is a good versus bad, you know, situation. It's perfect. Heel, face, right down the middle, and the both champions, of course, and it's just, oh, man, it's just going to be dope. I'm going to like this match a lot, and I'm having a hard time picking this one, too. I'm just kind of hoping that they do well with it and they just don't kind of sweep it underneath the rug and just kind of get it over with. But with that being said, because I want Nakamura to get more attention because he hasn't been getting the attention that he deserves. Absolutely not. If you try to argue with me, anyone out there, when we get on the live stream on Instagram, remember this. Join, if you want to argue with me that Nakamura is getting the proper amount of attention, I will argue to the fucking grave on it, because it's an absolute lie. So I'm hoping that Nakamura does win, but I want them to perform to the point to where they both shine, and Nakamura to pick up that win and kind of hopefully get some momentum going, because that dude deserves it.
I have to do that. I have to do that.
Why?
Why did I have to do the soundboard? Is because you're bringing up Seth Rollins and Shinsuke Nakamura. What is better than to add a Seth Rollins disagreement to your state?
Oh, that's awesome. Awesome. That was good. That
I'm
was really
good at timing.
But you know what? It's true, though. It's true. I'm going to go with Nakamura, but I want a beautiful match. So I'm guessing that you're picking Seth Rollins.
Yeah, well, this is a match that, if this was done in New Japan Pro Wrestling, this would be like one of these 45-minute to 50-minute five-star Dave Meltzer, although, you know what? Leave Dave Meltzer alone. As a matter of fact, I want to thank Dave Meltzer for putting my name out on one of the most viewed wrestling newsletters 2 years ago, where he included my interview with Santino Marella on his report. So if anything, I shouldn't be bitching. I should be thanking Dave Meltzer, because without Dave Meltzer, work wouldn't be out there as much as it is. So thank you. But like I was saying, this would be a Dave Meltzer Wrestling Observer five-star match between these two. But this isn't New Japan Pro Wrestling now. We're in WWE, and we're probably going to see a 12 to 15-minute match in which consists of a lot of spots, not too many high spots, but a lot more, like, you're going to see more entertainment than wrestling in this match, which is unfortunate, because I wanted to see the New Japan Pro Wrestling version where you would see them go for 45 to 50 minutes. So that's kind of my take on it.
Well, just keep our fucking fingers crossed, man. That's all I'm saying. There's only so many rays of hope in the Survivor Series, I feel.
I say for this result, Rollins will. Actually, no, I take that back. Think carefully. Ambrose will interfere, and then Nakamura will win. That's how it's going to go.
That would be probably exactly how that's going to go. I think you just hit it right on the button, bro.
I know.
Because I was thinking about it. I'm like, where is Dean Ambrose on this, actually? I mean, in Survivor Series, period. Because he's not in anything. So that's where you could call, man. I'm going to put a star beside that one because I really feel that's going to fucking happen. AOP, Authors of Pain versus The Bar. I'm going with The Bar, man. Go ahead.
No, I go with The Bar as well on this one. Seems like the Authors of Pain, they used Rockstar Spud as their manager, but it's going good. Like, they're having a good run, but I don't see them going further than the mid-card at this point. And when I mean mid-card, I mean, like, lower mid-card.
Right. Yeah, so there's not really all that much to talk about on that one. There's no story behind it. It's just, that's that. So Cruiserweights championship match. So this is the only match. I'm assuming this is probably going to be on the pre-show, which is sad because Cruiserweights are doing really good, and they got a great champion, Buddy Murphy, right now. And he's going to be facing Mustafa Ali for the Cruiserweight Championship. So I think that's the only championship that's going to be exchanged, if it's going to be exchanged at all. So I want to go with since I'm not too invested in this, and I apologize, there's just a lot of wrestling going on right now. 205 Live, I think, gives a lot of opportunity to a lot of professional wrestlers to shine and carry the 205 Cruiserweights championship. So I think Mustafa Ali is probably going to pick it up on Survivor Series.
Yeah, I can agree with that. 205 Live is a great opportunity for people to showcase themselves, and not just people on the full roster looking to improve on their skills, but for local wrestlers as well, looking to get some WWE experience, whether that's as an extra, which hopefully happens to me one day down the road, and then hopefully as an upcoming aspiring superstar, as they say. So it's good to have backstage helpers and talent in for these 205 Live shows, because the way you're going to learn is in a WWE environment. That's where you learn the most, and that's where you take the most away from. And then you take those skills back to the independents, and then you go back to WWE with those skills. That's part of the plan there. So that's what 205 Live is about. They provide a lot of opportunities, and not to mention, they have a good storyline basis, and it's a very great product. As for the match between Mustafa Ali and, obviously, who the fuck? Oh, my God. Mustafa Ali and Buddy Murphy. I know. I'm sorry. My brain's just a little fucked right now. Mustafa Ali and Buddy Murphy. And Buddy Murphy has a great reign so far. He's been a great cruiserweight champion. So we're going to see him retain that title, in my opinion. He has a lot of raw skills, and I don't think it's time for him to lose the belt just yet.
There it is. So we got a couple more matches to go through. We got the elimination matches, the men's single Survivor Series elimination, the tag team elimination, and then we got the women's elimination. So we'll start with the men's single one. On the Raw side, so this is more going to be, of course, what side is going to win. This is like almost right down, you know, just it's either going to be Raw or SmackDown, of course. But we can also determine who from that side is going to win. So we've got, on the Raw side, we've got Braun Strowman, Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre, Finn Balor, Bobby Lashley. And then on SmackDown, we have Miz, Shane O'Mac, Samoa Joe, Rey Mysterio, and Jeff Hardy. So, first off, going off of what you said when you said SmackDown is probably going to be made as the baby face, I feel that that this is going to be the match where their pride may be hurt, probably the only match where their pride is going to be hurt, and Raw is going to pick it up. I see more of a storyline afterwards of, you know, maybe, you know, Shane O'Mac loses it for him. Miz says, yes, you're not the best in the world. You see where I'm going with this. So, So I think Raw's going to win, and I think the person, of course, that's going to win that is probably going to be Braun Strowman. So, yeah, that's going to be my call. Raw's going to win with Braun Strowman.
My mind, man. It's not even worth giving a prediction on that one. I guess just mark me. Like, I don't know if you're keeping track or keeping score, and if the winner gets a country fried steak or something, but if you're keeping a tally, just say that I put your answer, because that's probably exactly what's going to happen. However, I think they should have made Strowman the champion. Like, I wouldn't want to see any of them as champion, but I think they should have made at least Strowman the champion. That way there is some more like anticipation where it's like, oh, who's going to win the belt? But they buried him so much before, and then they try to bring him back as this monster, and the more times you do that, the more you just lose that effect of what a monster heel is supposed to be. He's supposed to be someone that's intimidated by the locker room. No one wants to be in his path. He's this monster. And that is lost as of late with Strowman. I think they need to work on that more. I think if they made him the champion and turned him into a bigger monster, or they did something to incorporate that he was more powerful, then that would be the case. That's what they do with their big stars. Like, if you watch a Big Show match, how quickly now is it when, like, obviously Big Show is the baby face, but how quickly now is it when you see the heel taking the Big Show down? If this was 1996 or 1997, the Big Show would not be down in the whole match except for the finish. And now it just kind of loses the magic quickly of that monster character. So that's my take on it. Do you kind of agree with what I'm saying on that? They need to make Strowman more powerful and keep him that way for at least a year.
Oh, I mean, that's the
Ali,
what they need to do. They need to start, yeah, they need to build, that's a mistake they made with Braun Strowman in the first place. They made him look so big and bad at the beginning, and then they just deflated him a little bit. Like, so, especially with Goldberg. I mean, when they made him back down from Goldberg, that was just, you know, that's what kind of set it in path, you know, of, you know, he's not as powerful as, you know, as what everyone's making him out to be. I mean, now, you know, finally he's, you know, kind of building that back up, getting that momentum back up. People, you know, cheering for him, loving him. You know, everyone enjoys Braun Strowman. Everyone wants to see a legitimate belt on Braun Strowman, not some fucking Saudi Arabia Royal Rumble fucking belt on him that, you know, looks like a fucking watermelon. Anyways, is what it is. That happened. And but, yeah, they need a better belt on him. And hopefully it's soon. So, yeah, they need to protect Braun a little bit more. They need to make him a little more of a monster, and he needs to be just relentless. None of this, like, oh, back down because, you know, authority says so. Or, you know, he needs to be untamable. He needs to riff roar through everything and anything he fucking wants to. And the only thing that does calm him down is the opportunity for a belt. So that's my thoughts on Braun Strowman.
No, exactly. And that's the thing, too. If I was a wrestler, which I occasionally have obviously had a match or done that, been there, or if I was a referee, better example, if I was offered to fly all the way to Saudi Arabia, and like I said, I support what they're doing for the product, but
yes,
from a partying standpoint, from a wrestling lifestyle perspective, you're not allowed Saudi Arabia. There's no Canada where, oh, sorry, you have a few grams of weed, and as for the person, like, enough with the messages. I'll respond to them after. I was getting a bunch of thumb marks and text me. It's like, I'll reply when I want to. As for, fuck, I lost my train of thought. With the Saudi Arabia thing, you go there, you can't drink after the show. Drinking's banned. It's illegal in the country. And not only that, if they catch you drinking, they'll cut your fucking head off. So you can't drink. That's out of the picture. You sure as hell can't smoke dope. And you sure, the only thing you're stuck there with is these harsh Saudi Arabia smokes with no bars in sight, no clubs in town, not even like a frickin' nice little restaurant like Michelino's or something where you can just, you know, have some spaghetti and hang out with the coworkers. Like, no, there's none of that there. And like Chris Jericho.
They have a baseball snake.
They don't care if you're if you're a famous person. Like, say, and once again, talk to me. I'm on a live show. You fucking expect me to talk to you right now? Sorry. I apologize, but some people just don't get the concept of what live means. It's on the left corner of your screen. Basically, it just ruins it, man. And the airport there's a lineup of people. So if you're like even George W. Bush and you're waiting in the lineup, like you're getting pestered by 1,000 people and you're waiting in the same line. So just imagine a horror show. I don't really think they should be doing shows there anymore. I really think that the country has great standards. It's a beautiful place. But when it comes, it doesn't belong to be investing in professional wrestling. Saudi Arabia is not professional wrestling, and it sure as hell shouldn't be investing in it. Why? Because you can invest in much more better resources like oil or gas or fossil fuels or more industries to invest in. Stay out of professional wrestling. It's not your game. It's America's game. Sorry to say, I'm not a big fan of America all the time. Certain things that your fucking president's fucked. But America will always be – America and Japan is professional wrestling, period. Don't invest in it.
Be careful. What about Mexico, man? Don't forget Mexico.
And Mexico, yes, of course. United States, Mexico, and Japan are the places you want to work. And add Canada as a backup third. Canada does not make the top three. However, the product, the promotions,
there should be a
top, revolution.
Yeah.
Canada is a huge scene in pro wrestling, and it's definitely not far behind the United States. But I'm just saying states because there's promotions in every... More people equal more promotions, and more promotions equals more work, and more work equals more fans. So there you go.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't know how I went off topic like that. But for I don't like Braun Strowman. They need to make him look more powerful, and that's the bottom line.
That's the bottom line. Okay, so we're going to move to the let's go and just get the women's single elimination match out of the way. Raw side, Natalya, Mickie James, Serena Snuka, Ruby Riott, and the... I'm not going to call her any more names. I mean, calling her a bitch and all these horrible fucking names. Nia Jax is on the Raw side. And then
that though, Brad. Like, that's one thing that I know, but that's part... Like, you can't say that was on purpose. You can't say that was on purpose. There's...
It looked pretty set up, bro.
Thing is, though, man, that's part of the business.
Well, I know that.
If you,
I understand that. That's what I said at the beginning. But, you know, at the same time...
Sometimes you misfire. Sorry, man, but sometimes you misfire your punch, and you don't do the snap jab, and it actually does connect. And, like I said, Bob Holly told me this in Wisconsin 2 years ago. Don't be in this business if you're not expecting a bloody nose. And that's whether you're a referee or a wrestler or even a fucking podcaster that's involved on the shows once in a while like I am. You're going to get a bloody nose. Might as well wait for it to happen because it's going to come sooner or later. It might come the next show or it might come 10 years from now. But you're going to get it at least once. That's how it is.
Cool. And that's, you know, and I totally get that. And, you know, I understand that. Absolutely. But I pointed out also the way that she threw it was blind. It was so blind, man. It just, you know, if you're going to do it, I mean, there's ways of being safe about it. You know, there's just ways of being safe about it. And when you're, you know, this far away from a major pay-per-view, you know, those are things that you should pay attention to. And
I agree.
And not fuck up, man. You know what I mean? If you're going to throw a punch, I understand that you don't snap back in time and maybe the person leads into it and you get a bloody nose or you get a busted fucking eye socket or whatever it is. But when you're sitting there with a ring full of girls and you're just snapping punches out without even looking where you're snapping them, that's unprofessional as fuck, man. You know what I mean? That's just dumb. That's just unprofessional wrestling.
I can understand where you're coming from, but then it comes to the term of generalization. There's most divas on that roster that can do more than the men can do on that roster. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
If they get a bloody nose, you can't say, oh, but they're not supposed to bleed. They're people, too. At the end of the day, you're all human, and they're doing what they do best. So they're going to get that as well. Do I say it's not comfortable to watch? It's very actually disturbing, and I guess I agree with that statement. You don't want to see someone get a busted-up nose, especially in the women's segments. But sometimes it happens, but I think it's based on adrenaline. Nia Jax hit her because it's out of adrenaline. When I'm in there, everything goes. You're focused on that exact moment. And the only time in my life where I can actually focus on what's happening in the moment, in the exact moment, and get the adrenaline flowing is being in the ring. So knowing her, if you're in an audience of 20,000 people and you're wrestling in front of millions of people on television, you know, sometimes you just get carried away. And that's probably what happened. But I'm not going to place fault on that situation. I think it's simply an accident. It sucks to see it happen, but Becky Lynch certainly isn't bitching about it, and even if she was, she has every right to, because that was a pretty big blow. But that's what happens, man. You know, like I said, this is a sport,
I get it,
as well as art and theater, and things are going to happen. Like, do you think movie actors or stuntmen don't get hurt, or football players don't get hurt? Just it happens everywhere. It's just the way it is, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is unfortunate, but I'm still going to cry about it. I'm still going to whine about it because it was my favorite match. And I'm going to throw a fit and I might kick my feet. I don't know. I might just do an Instagram live feed of just me throwing a fit, and Nia Jax punched the man in the face. I won't call her any names. I'll just throw a fit. That's, you know, just that. I bet you I get a lot of views on it.
I guess so, yeah. I feel like doing those YouTube rants. There's this guy that, like, has this podcast where he has a live stream in the left corner, and he just rants about his Walmart experiences and just everything. So
awesome.
I'm thinking of actually
awesome.
Starting a YouTube rant. Once I get my laptop and my webcam, well, obviously I need a new job, second job first, but when I get my webcam and I get my laptop set up, I'm actually going to be doing some YouTube videos on Twitch with a live stream on the right side, and it's not going to be wrestling-related. It's just going to be me complaining about anything. Like, being pretty much stand-up comedy, but on live video. So that's coming up, but enough of that.
Right,
I've been too much off topic today. What's left to discuss?
It's you know, it's fine, because we're having a good time, and we don't have a guest, so we're just kind of doing us. So who's going to win on the girls' side? We got the Raw side, we got the SmackDown side, Carmella, Naomi, Asuka, Sonya Deville, and of course there's going to be there's a to be determined. I don't know if they decided this or not, but of course Charlotte's not going to be in this, so there's going to be a replacement for Charlotte.
Why is there going to be a
replacement? Well, she's going to be doing the match against Ronda, so I don't think they're going to make her do double duty. Yeah. So I'm thinking the person that's going to replace Charlotte's going to win it. So I think they're going to try to make the best of it, and maybe bring someone up from NXT or something.
And it's going to be a return, or it's going to be someone from NXT. Expect a return at Survivor Series, and I think that might be the insertion where it's going to be. However, yes and no, because we just had Evolution, and we could see fucking every return that we thought possible. So if we see a return, it won't have that much of that dynamic effect, because it was all the returns happened a year ago. So not a year ago, a month ago. So that's what we run into as well. So I think it's going to be someone called up from NXT who's ready to make the next level, and I think it might be Nikki Cross. I think she's ready.
Oh God, I would love that. I love me some Nikki Cross. She's the best. I know who did it. Ah, man. She could just do that all the time. I'd be happy. I don't know what my deal is with her. I really like Nikki Cross. And I like, what's her name, too? She's one of my favorites, Bianca Belair. Or no, Bianca Belair, excuse me. EST of NXT. I love her.
19, 20 years old, and she has a lot of raw power in her arsenal. She can put on a good match. That's for 5 minutes or for 50 minutes. She's very good. She has a very bright future in professional wrestling. Came through hard times, actually. She grew up in a tough family, tough life, like from the streets. And she came from the streets to like making nothing to making it on WWE NXT and being a contender for the women's championship. So good for her.
Mm-hmm.
She is pure
Absolutely.
Talent, and not as hard work equals everybody. Look at Bianca Belair. There is a lot of great stuff coming up from her. And not to mention, she's very, if she doesn't make it in professional wrestling, she could easily make it as an actor, she could make it as a model. Either way, you're looking at someone that's worth $1 million, and she's going to prove it to you either way.
And that's the thing, is when you got a person like that already in your grasp, whether or not she's, whether or not she's a viable talent in the ring, when you have someone like that, that's talented in every aspect of the job when it comes to being a professional wrestler in the ring, in front of an audience, in front of a microphone, you keep that there. You use that for developmental. If she can't wrestle, then you put her ass right there at NXT Developmental, Full Sail University, and you make sure that every bit of her knowledge is passed on, because that's the type of talent that is far and few between. And if she does not become a superstar, which she's on the road to be, absolutely, I don't see her being nothing but if she continues what she's doing. But if something, knock on wood, I hope you heard that, knock on wood, that, something happens to her, that, the WWE would absolutely keep her for something else.
Oh, absolutely. She has a very bright future, and the sky's the limit.
So we got the last match of Survivor Series, the men's tag team, Raw, and SmackDown elimination match. On the Raw side, we got Bobby Roode and Chad Gable, the Ascension, Lucha House Party, the B Team and Revival against the SmackDown side, the Usos, New Day, Good Brothers, Sanity, and the Colons. And yes, people, the Colons are still around, and they're an awesome talent. And I'm just hoping that they find a good place for them, a good niche, if you will, because they're an amazing talent, incredible talent. So on this side, I think the SmackDown Penitentiary is going to take it, dude. I think the SmackDown Penitentiary is going to take it. The Usos are the captains, and not to mention that their promo was pretty tight. So that kind of got me. I'm going to go with SmackDown on this one. I think they're gonna win. I think the Usos are gonna do it too.
I agree with your statement on that one. I just like how the dynamic was shown once again. If Raw interfered more with this storyline, I would be changing my thoughts and opinions. But I think we're looking at a potential, but not guaranteed SmackDown sweep. Usos, I have on this one too.
Very nice. Very nice. All right, guys. That's the predictions. Now, Jordan, before we say goodnight, and folks, make sure after the show you tune in to Instagram. Give us about a 5 to 10 minute intermission. Go check us out on Instagram. We're going to be doing the NXT TakeOver War Games predictions and thoughts. We're going to be talking about that. There's a lot to talk about because there's an incredible amount of talent going through there. It's just a fucking – it's a whirlwind of the best of the best at NXT right now. So we're looking forward to talking that live on Instagram.
That is
but
correct.
Jordan, we need to get our off-the-wall predictions. I mean, just off-the-wall fucking predictions that was something that we hope is going to happen that is probably not going to happen. You know what they say in professional wrestling, never say never, that type of prediction. So give me something just wacky that you think is going to happen at Survivor Series on Sunday.
Man, you just put me right on the spot. You fucking did. You motherfucker. I'm just kidding. Off-the-wall predictions. Oh, my God, man. I don't know. I guess if I have to say something, the return of Booker T. There you go.
The
you
return
see how I
of Booker
that
T
one?
As a talent or as an announcer?
Believe it or not, as a talent. Can you dig that sucker?
Can you dig that sucker? I like that. I'm kind of pissed off because that was my prediction.
You should just walk in Chicago and cut a Booker T promo. You could just say, "Can you dig that sucker?" and just walk down Southside Chicago doing that. I would do it if someone gave me $2,000. That's all I'll do.
$2,000?
$2,000 to walk down the street of Chicago and say, "Can you dig it, sucker?"
All right, folks, listen. Seriously, we're going to start a GoFundMe account where Jordan can to go down the streets of Chicago and say, "Can you dig that sucker?" And hopefully you don't get shanked, bro. Hopefully you don't get shanked.
I live in Winnipeg, so every day I walk out of my house, I have a chance to get shanked. It's bound to happen.
Jesus. Anyways, all right, here's Serious Brad's off-the-wall prediction. My prediction is it's viable, just as much as Booker T going to the ring is viable, I suppose. But I see Kenny Omega coming in and interfering with the Brock Lesnar and Daniel Bryan match in some capacity. And then that will start a feud with Kenny Omega and Brock Lesnar. And that's what is going to fucking happen at WrestleMania. That's what's going to happen. They're just going to build that fucking story right to WrestleMania. Kenny Omega versus Brock Lesnar. That's Survivor. So that's I'm trying not to laugh because that's not going to fucking happen. But like I said, it's the off-the-wall predictions. Anything can happen. So there's Serious Brass prediction. What'd you think about that one, Jordan?
It is quite off the wall. As for Kenny Omega, when I was talking to him when he was in town in Winnipeg doing the PCW show and I did the spot with the pies, he told me after that he likes Japan a lot, but he's willing to work with anything if the money is there.
Right.
So I basically said something right now that I shouldn't have said, but you know what? He didn't reveal anything, so I'm more than likely to share that information than I did. He loves Japan, but if the money is there, he will go to WWE. And that was part of our conversation. So there is some, if you don't ask for any better insight than that, then I don't know what else you could ask for. If you want instead, you can go to wrestlingnews.co and get a bunch of inaccurate information on rumors that people just probably made up while taking a dump.
That's true. I do my best work there.
But the question is, what's WWE going to offer him? That opens a whole new question. What would you say?
Yeah.
What would you say what his wage expectations would be? I'd say give him $5-6 million a year.
Now, first of all, when you've got a talent like that, most certainly the best in the world, PWI Illustrated, number one wrestler in the world, top of the world, there's the man, he's the fucking man. That's a man that you say, within reason, here's a blank check. You know what I mean? That guy is at pinnacle, the peak of his healthiness. Takes care of himself. Eats well. I mean, this guy is a machine for professional wrestling. Legit. So, yeah, man. I would literally build a fucking company around him. That sounds silly. That sounds like a Mark thing to say. But it's doable. It's doable. You could build a company around this man. So if WWE went to Kenny Omega and asked him, and he said to open up the paycheck, checkbook, and just let me write what I want, I'd be like, what color fucking pen do you want? You know what I mean? So it's do what you got to do, WWE. Get him in there because I want to see Kenny Omega, you know, work with some talent that's in there that's just fucking dying. That's just dying right now to compete with a talent at their level, because there are people in WWE that are at Kenny Omega's level. Don't get me wrong whatsoever. So bringing him in there would not only bring a lot of fan base back over to the WWE that has left because of staleness and has gone to places like New Japan, of course, and Ring of Honor or Impact Wrestling even. Back over to the WWE, and Kenny Omega would give other wrestlers at his level an outlet to do good and put on WrestleMania-worthy matches, put on matches that people want to see over and over again. So it allows to build a story that people want to see over and over again. So, you know, if Kenny Omega's on your fucking doorstep, just give him what he fucking wants. That's my thoughts.
I agree, because it comes to talent. But the thing is talent and timing going to mix in? That's the big factor.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's really always the factor. But, guys, like I said, Jordan, J.R. Gobber, Serious Brad will be on Instagram here in about 10 minutes. We have to say thank you to him. What's that, bro?
Yes, just want to let everyone know, as Brad is saying, we are going to be taking a 10-minute intermission. But when we are back, I will be back on Instagram Live, and we'll be discussing NXT War Games for about 20, 25 minutes, so stay tuned for that. And we'll be back on Instagram in 10 minutes. Jordan J. Garber is the Instagram, and give out your Instagram as well so people can watch from your end.
Well, you're going to be joining mine. So, I mean, I think you can still follow yours and go through mine. So it'll be on the Serious Brad Instagram page that has the tag name Serious Brett, but it's the Pin the Shoulders podcast, the Serious Lowdown page. But I think when you join me, they're still going to be able to check out the Jordan J.R. Garber page that way. But either way, just check out the Serious Lowdown Pin the Shoulders podcast page. You'll see Jordan Garber and myself, Serious Brett, and we'll be talking about NXT TakeOver War Games and, of course, whatever else. But
if you need an additional stream as well, I will be streaming on Twitter on Periscope, so you can check it out on Twitter Live as well. So there's two sources of media to check out the exclusive footage, and that will be on Instagram Live and on Twitter. But first, we take a 10-minute intermission.
All right, guys. We're going to give a shout-out to our sponsors, of course, SquareCircleApparel.com. What's up, Tim? Go and get some winter caps. It's getting cold out there, and we don't want your ears to get cold. We don't want you to get that frostbite. So go put in a promo code SeriousBrad, get that 15% off, and say what's up to Tim. Of course, High Q Hydration Energy, and, of course, Collar and Elbow Brand Street Passion Meets Wrestling Passion Meets Street Fashion. Go to collarandelbowbrand.com for the Serious Brad promo. Go get 10% off. These guys have T-shirts. They have design after design after design. They just always have drops. So go check out their T-shirts. There's always going to be something from that professional wrestling fan out there. And, of course, thechairshot.com, guys. Anytime we have a show, make sure you're checking it out. If you miss it, that's fine. Go to chairshot.com, check out all the back library, and, of course, we got opinion columns, we got reviews. If you're a professional wrestling fan, we have it on this website. Go check it out. Bookmark it. Put it on your main page. Put it on everyone's main page. Go to all your coworkers and put it on their TVs, on their computer screens, and on their tablets and their phones. Just be sneaky about it. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head. Other than that, make sure you're tuning in to Instagram here in a little bit. Jordan J. Roberts, anything else you want to say before we say goodnight on the Chairshot.com radio network?
Yeah, this Friday, CWE presents the 50-man Rumble to Remember. The Kingdom from Ring of Honor will be there, as well as Hulk Hogan's best friend, Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Just announced, I have an interview coming up with the Kingdom's Matt Taven. That will be taking place Friday at the show or at the after party. Depends on how many hours my job allows me to work. Obviously, I'm going to be going for as many as I can, but if they do cut it to 4 or 5 hours, I will definitely be doing more than just interviews as well. So stay tuned for that this Friday at Essence Nightclub, which is it's across from Tavern. It's like the same building it's located in. So that's if you live in Winnipeg, Manitoba. And if you're from out of town, make the trip, see some professional wrestling, and keep supporting the business. And yeah, we'll see you all next Wednesday on thechairshot.com.
All right, guys. Make sure you're tuning in about 10 minutes to Instagram, the Pin the Shoulders podcast, Serious Lowdown Instagram page. Jordan and J.R. Garber and I are going to be talking about war games. And, folks, have a good evening. Take care of yourselves. One love. And support professional wrestling, for God's sakes. And remember, it's never a bad time to be serious.